Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight is Nell Irvin Painter. She's a historian, writer, and an artist. Her most recent book is Old in Art School, and we're going to be talking about her artwork tonight. Nell, welcome back to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
I felt compelled. I had to talk to you about your work. We talked about your book.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. But then I became really intrigued by your work. And like any other artist that I interview, I wanted to talk to you about it. Is it safe to say you really like to work in series?
Yeah.
Why is that? Like, talk to me about why series are so important to you.
Part of me thinks it's because I used to write books. Books are printed. Printing is about series.
Huh.
That's one part of it. But another part is I still just like to try things out. So just doing one thing doesn't answer all the visual questions I have about a piece. So I'll give you an example. Since we talked before, I've made a piece that has succeeded. The Zimmerle Museum at Rutgers, New Brunswick, which is the main campus, is sponsoring a contest, a commission, in honor of Paul Robeson, who's an distinguished graduate of Rutgers.
Oh, nice.
So the Zimmerle invited 12 artists to submit sketches of a banner. It's a strange size. The sketches were to be 24 inches tall and 12 inches wide, you know, sort of tall and skinny, which is really kind of odd to work with.
It is odd.
But it was a challenge. And so... I
know, you're always like a challenge.
Yeah, and so I submitted a piece that's very graphic in the sense that it's very flat. The bottom part is a drawing of Paul Robeson from mid-chest up. And then the top two-thirds or so, and then going behind him, are strips of a speech he gave, I think in the 50s, about the Negro and labor unions. So my theme was Paul Robeson, activist.
Yeah.
And so the backdrop is this text, which is not meant really to be read except for the title, which is at the top about the Negro and unions. But to convey the idea of verbal activism. So it's flat in the sense that there are only two layers. The drawing is a very flat layer. There's a little bit of speckling to give a hint of volume in the figure, but mostly it's just like pencil drawing. They chose 5 drawings of the 12 to actually make into banners, and mine is one. I was really delighted about that. So I have to make this into a real drawing. Now, you ask about series. They only want one. And I made one sketch, partly because of time constraints. But I'm going to make 3 sort of paintings of this, because I don't know which palette I'm going to want.
Okay. Well, can I just stop you then? So one of the things that series therefore does for you is it helps you work out issues.
Exactly.
But you also show series, though, as a series.
I do. I show series kind of as installations because, once again, they let the viewer go deeper into what the motif is or how the motif can be seen. So, like with my Année Infâme, infamous year from the summer, there's 6 plates of that sort of rubber stamp piece, and they all work off 2016, which is the Année Infâme. But they play with color, and they play with composition. So if somebody said to me, which one is the one? I couldn't do that.
Well, I want to talk about other series. First of all, when we talk about your work, too, you're passionate about print in a lot of different forms.
Yeah.
And collage, but also including using computer to create collage.
Yes.
And when I look at your figures, because you put – there's both abstract elements and figurative elements and that sort of mesh together. Mm-hmm. I'm really reminded of expressionist form. Is that okay? I mean, do you see that? I mean, I look at classic expressionist figures, and I see that in your work.
Well, I'm very flattered.
I didn't say that to flatter you. I just wanted
really
to say
flattered. Because when I think of, you know, I'm thinking of Beckmann.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or Alice Neal.
Yes, yes.
Or my favorite, Colescott.
Yep.
You know, I think of much deeper pieces and more complex pieces. I mean, these are really painters. And I'm more of a drawer, I think.
But you're also a collage artist. And in that sense, there's an aspect that reminds me of some of the finest collage artists, like Kurt Schwitters. You know, I look at your work and the way that, that you sort of...
I hadn't thought of that.
I love... Well, he happens to be a real fave of mine.
I see.
And I love the way that you sort of build up. But so you sort of seamlessly go in and out of these different kinds of elements. And I love the way you sort of blend them together.
Well, I go back and forth with Photoshop. And so, you know, when you say in and out, I mean, this really is a process of layers.
It is. They're very layered, yeah.
Layers, yeah.
Really layered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these series, though, there's text, and they really are meant to be seen as a series. There's a series I want to talk to you about that really struck me. You say this can't really be America.
Yeah.
That's a conversation I've literally been having.
Yes. Yes.
In the last year, time and time again, I've been having this conversation.
Yes.
And talk to me about that series, because that really struck me. That was a powerful series.
That piece has been acquired by two public institutions. It's at the Smith College Museum of Art. And
here in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it's up now.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And also the Minneapolis Institute of Art. And when the Brodsky has done, you know, sort of book fairs, or printmaking fairs, they've shown that. And it's a much more topical piece than I had been making. But like so many of us, I was really struck, almost literally, by the election of 2016.
I know. So it was as an artist, you felt compelled?
Yeah. Normally, my way out of abstraction is sort of through historical things, like Swampy Land by the River Don.
I have that on my computer right now. I have one of the pieces.
Yeah.
And that's a fascinating piece. You can appreciate that entirely as an abstract work of art.
And that's how I made it. I should explain for your listeners who can't see it that the basis of this, I think it's about 13 pieces, the basis, in the sense of the foundation, is a small lino print inspired by a 17th century map of the River Don in Russia. And I found this map, and I do like maps, in my image archive in the summer when I was really tired from my book tour, which is very intense and which picked up again in the fall, but I did have some time in the summer, I want to make some art. But I didn't have much time. So the lino prints are small. But then I hand-printed 13 of them in different ways, some with collage, some with paint, and I think there are a couple even with glitter. But it was really play. And it turns out that this piece has a historical resonance because the River Don was the commercial artery of early Russia, and it's between the Ukraine and Russia, and the town or the settlement at the bottom of the River Don was called Tana, into the Black Sea. And the reason it was in my archive, my image archive, had to do with a series, yes, that I started in 2012 on the white slave trade in the Black Sea, which was the way the white slave trade took people from Ukraine and Caucasus and Russia into the wealthy Eastern Mediterranean and Italy. So it's about the Cossacks swooping in and just, they called it harvesting the steppe, which is just collecting up peasants and delivering them to the River Don and to Tana and to the Black Sea, which is exactly the way the Atlantic slave trade.
Yes.
These warlords who just go and swoop up people and deliver them. It was a business. So it has that additional historical resonance that I think really intrigued people. I had open studio on the 7th of October, and I sold four of those. Prints of them, not the original pieces. But people were intrigued first by the image, but also they spent a moment with the story I just told you, the backstory of this image.
Well, what I love about the piece, and it's one of the sort of things that you do, you're a historian, and I introduced you as a historian, writer, and artist. So that can't help but inform your works in some ways. Now, sometimes it can be very didactic. Like you say, this can't really be America. It's like an editorial to me.
But
we'll talk more about that, by the way. I haven't left that series yet because I want to make sure we pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. But this River Don series is one of the things where, yes, there's a history and a story behind it, but it's not didactic. It's very subtle. And actually, the appreciation of the pieces comes entirely visually and viscerally from enjoying it. And then all of a sudden you find this story, and it's like a punch in the stomach.
Yeah. So here it is, 2018. I graduated from RISD in 2011, and I'm only now being able to bring to bear my eye, my hand, my history.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time because I was so discouraged from using history when I was in art school.
By the way, that's a plug. You should read the book, Old in Art School, because that, to me, is one of the most amazing books about art school I have ever read.
Well, great. Thank you.
Can we just dwell on that moment? The crap that you went through in art school still has me fuming. And the fact that people would tell you anything like that is unnerving. I mean, what? It's like,
well, yeah, but so the crap that I especially got told was I would never be an artist because I was lacking in some inner something that you can't get through skill. Or
you're wearing the wrong T-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been okay, if I had worn the wrong T-shirt.
Right.
But it was my approach, which is work hard. Work hard and make a lot of work.
Have a work ethic.
Yeah,
it's never a positive.
Yeah. But so many other people went through what I went through. Every time I have told people who have gone to graduate school for poetry or for fiction writing, for anything arty, somebody has said to them or to a friend, you'll never be an artist. It's a familiar story.
How does anybody even say that? Because
I don't know.
Because I can see, like, you telling people that's really good and you could really go somewhere with it. But why would you say the opposite? Like, why would you purposely discourage?
Yeah, it's such irresponsible teaching.
It really is. Well, let's move on to let's talk about it. So the River Don series to me was entirely successful. I actually would like to see them huge, like banner size or something. Because I want to be in those environments, and they really are. Each one is really different.
Find me a gallery or museum, and I will have them printed huge.
Everybody out there, you've heard this. And by the way, mention your website because people can see everything that we're talking about on your website.
www.nellpainter.com.
It's a wonderful website, and not only do you get to look at her art, you get to learn about her history, her writing, and all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
You often stick yourself in these works, too. Talk to me about that. Like, that's unusual for artists, and I find it, like, you're there, that's you, isn't it? And you say this can't really be America?
Yes. Yeah, that's me.
Man.
And all the pieces that I made when I was artist in residence at the Brodsky Center in the spring of 2017 incorporate parts of me as a figure. And part of it is that I make a lot of self-portraits because I am a very handy motif. I am always there. And also, I don't have to worry about how I look. So, the figure, the black body, is just weighted with cultural and historical meaning that is really too heavy a load for this artist to deal with other people. So I use myself because myself doesn't mind.
And the interesting thing is you become this sort of icon throughout different aspects of your work. You pop up in amazing places.
Yeah, because I'm so neutral.
Well, I don't know. You can't say this. You say this can't really be America. You're really making the moral comments there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, visually neutral.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Well, it is a didactic figure. It's true. The figure is posing. I think it holds a finger up to instruct you. That's true. That is true.
Well, just to let people know, I want to just say, these are our opposites. These are pairs of prints, and I find them really powerful. And on one side, on the left side, we've never seen anything like this before. And this is the comments that you hear all the time.
Yeah,
and
that's the you say side.
Yeah, well, you say, not me. And then it's your response afterwards, and it's your continually answering that question. And it's a really powerful series. It's a really great series. Usually I don't like didactic art, political art, because it's too obvious.
Me either.
But this is so on the money. It's good.
Well, it was an intense time.
It still is.
Yeah. And also, I think I might have been feeling everything so much more because my father had died just before the election.
You write about that in your book.
And
that's a huge moment for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Nell Irvin Painter, historian, writer, and artist. Her most recent book is Old in Art School, which I cannot recommend enough. It is a great read. But we're talking about her artwork tonight, which I really wanted to do because I found her artwork so interesting. I felt it was a slight to have gone through the whole last interview and not talk to you about your work.
Well, I'm so glad you wanted to talk about the art.
You did an art history series. It's on your website, and I need to know more about that. What is that?
I did an art history.
Is it just an art history?
Oh, yes. It's two little artist books.
Yes, talk to me about that, because this is the other thing. You were talking about the importance of books. You actually have made books.
Yeah, I have. And the two new works in my future, starting next year, are both artist books. Don't let me stop before I tell you about those. But these two artist books, they're called Art History by Nell Painter, Volume 27, and Art History by Nell Painter, Volume 28. And this was my first step into putting together my love for history with my art, with visualizing, in this case, art history. The first one was the relationship between African art and the Harlem Renaissance. And then the second one, Volume 28, riffs off the images in Volume 27. So volume 27, you can see the people, and at the back it actually includes a list of the people who are visualized in the plate. In volume 28, I go back and recompose the images in volume 27 much more, pulling farther away from the figures and farther away from the history, so the images are much more abstract, and some of them are purely abstract.
How many images
no
are there?
List in the back.
How big are these books?
They're little. The first one is 7 inches by 5 inches,
oh, wow.
Which is, you know, kind of the size of a regular book.
Yeah.
And volume 28 is 5 by 5.
So these are just single things that they weren't.
Yeah, they're little.
They weren't reproduced.
Yes, they were.
They were?
Yeah, the first one, volume 27, is in what's called the Staples edition, because I had it printed at Staples. I was
wow.
so happy to discover a way to make my art that used both history and art that I printed up 120 at Staples, and I gave them away.
So are these the images on your website, like number 10, Frobenius?
Yeah, Frobenius.
Those uh-huh. those are from the book?
Those are from my book.
Yeah, your book.
Yes.
They're exquisite.
Thank you. They were printed at Staples. But they did make it into a solo show at WBGO here in Newark. And had them printed big, and they look great big.
They would make great banners too.
Yeah, they would, and they were also at San Angelo Museum of Art in Texas.
Each one is radically different than the other.
Yeah, I have not shown big versions of Volume 28. I showed Volume 28 in probably 12 by 12 plates
mm-hmm.
Here in Newark a couple of years ago. But I only have one copy of each of those left, and I'm just going to leave them, you know, the small ones, I'm just going to leave them gone. You know, that's all there is.
Wow. Another series that I really like, the Plantin series.
Yeah.
Now that's acrylic on digital archival print. Talk to me about how you're doing that, how you're putting that together.
No, it's not on digital archival. Well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
That was how I discovered how I work, which is going back and forth between the hand and the digital and the paint. And, you know, it's I call it manual plus digital.
Okay.
A manual and digital. So those are from the summer of 2010, which was the summer between my first and second years in graduate school, as I found out how I make art.
When you finally figured out what your voice was, as opposed to the voice they were trying to give you?
It wasn't a final. It was a beginning.
Yeah, exactly right.
Beginning. Yeah.
Talk to me about your color choices, because I find that fascinating. A lot of them are unexpected.
They are acrylic colors. When I was an undergraduate, we painted in oils, and, you know, I tended to use the earth colors, which are kind of art history's foundation in terms of palette. But when I went to RISD, which was much more concerned with the environment and cleaning up, and I switched to acrylics, and I also started using digital manipulation and composition. And so I was pulling away from the naturalistic, the representational, any kind of recognizable theory of color to embrace the artificial, the chemical nature of acrylic color. So my colors, I would say now my palette is chemical.
Huh. We're going to run out of time before I ask you all your questions, but...
Well, I need to tell you about the new project.
Yes, do it. So that's what we're going to talk about now.
Yeah, they are. It's two artist books in the sense that I will draw and paint the illustrations, so there will be illustrations plus text. The first one is The History of White People for Dummies, illustrated by the author, which will boil down that very dense and scholarly book that I did in 2010 and take account of the changes in the meaning of American whiteness since the age of Trump.
Oh, my God.
So that's the first thing. The second thing, the working title is Emmett Till and Me, again, an artist book of the actual person, the historical person of Emmett Till and his lynching, and how it seemed to me in 1955, because I was alive in 1955,
right,
and how he disappeared and how he reappeared and disappeared. Dana Schutz's painting and the Whitney Biennial in 2017, and heritage or civil rights tourism and the commemoration of lynching and of civil rights and the emergence of the industry of civil rights tourism.
Huh. Wow. Jeez.
You know, I said to myself when I finished Old in Art School, which is my eighth book, I said, okay, that's it. I'm just going to lie down now.
Well, but what you're doing is you're making more art.
Yeah, and people kept saying, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next?
Yeah, you're doing it.
And so, yeah, that's the answer.
Well, you know, it's a form of writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
So you're writing your next books.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the form of artwork.
Yeah. Well, there will be text also.
Right. But there's text in a lot of your work.
There you go.
See, so you've just metamorphosized into something else.
Right. Well,
how many more careers do you think you can have? Five, six?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I've had a really full life.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have to do any more.
Or what people expect.
I've never done what people expect.
I'm not surprised.
I've always done what I wanted to do. And I will do what I want to do. And if it turns out I don't want to do anymore, and I do want to sit in my recliner, even before I finish these two projects, you know, the world will go on without Emmett Till and Me. The world will go on without the History of White People for Dummies.
Yeah, but it's better with you in it. we're all out of time. My guest tonight is Nell Irvin Painter, historian, writer, and very much an artist. Her most recent book, Old in Art School, is a must-read. But check out her website and look at her work, because her work is wonderful. Nell, it's a pleasure, as always.
I enjoyed talking to you, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.